What's up? What's up? How's everybody doing? Everybody good today? Y'all, I've missed you guys. I've missed you. I hope y'all really enjoyed my boys, my buddies that came. They're my heroes. Them jokers are crazy, and I get to do life with them on a regular basis. I love them and stuff. Hey, how you doing, girl? Good to see you. I'm glad somebody did. Fires me up. That makes me smile, happy. Hey, listen. Just before I dive into our new series that we've got taking place, let me just kind of let you or maybe remind you about our Tri-Splosion camp for our 4th through 6th graders, okay? Tri-Splosion, it's a camp just for 4th through 6th graders. Adam Whitley is absolutely incredible leader. We're going to be doing that August 3rd through the 5th. If you have not signed your baby up yet for camp, you need to do that, okay? It's going to be absolutely incredible. You could do that at the black tent in the front when you go through the sliding doors outside if you want to do that, or you can go to desperationchurch.tv and you could sign up there, okay? So, either way, sign your baby up. It's going to be absolutely incredible. I promise you, doing lots of Bible stuff, lots of fun activities, lots of worship, lots of good stuff. So sign your babies up and it's going to be good, okay? Hey, listen, as you can see, I have got all kinds of just different things up here. I've got some bandages. I've got some Neosporin. How many of you use Neosporin on like cuts and wounds? That's good stuff right there. How many of you are old enough to remember Mercuricome? You know what I'm talking about? Like my mama called it monkey blood. I don't even know what that means, but that's just nasty. Like she'd say, son, we got to put the monkey blood on. And I was like, okay, that's scary. I got something called Dermaplast up here. I just kind of got these as my illustrations today. I might just sit them up here just to remind you. Listen, the next several weeks, we're going to be talking about some things you don't hear a lot about in church. And we're going to talk about just some things that are biblical, probably some things that a lot of people go through inside the body of Christ that a lot of times you don't hear people talk about. So today I want to just kind of start off with basically just a kind of a surface thought process to kind of get us started, get us prepared about being wounded in life, okay? Living a life that basically you was wounded and maybe you didn't respond correctly when you were wounded. And because, you know, I believe everybody in this room has been hurt by other people some way, form, or fashion. Everybody in this room has been wounded. And the beautiful thing about it is God is passionate about healing the wounds. Now, there's a lot of people that have responded correctly, and there's a lot of people probably here that has not responded correctly. And the wounds that I want to talk to you about today are are emotional wounds, okay, that basically has happened probably, you know, maybe in our childhood or maybe yesterday. Who knows? But honestly, everything that we hate about ourselves, most of the time, maybe not every time, but most of the time, everything that we hate about ourselves usually comes from wounds in the past. Everything that happens in our life that we hate, how many of you could just be honest with me and say, there's things about my life I really don't like, I really would love to fix. Throw your hands up. I got both my hands up. You know, a lot of those things are things that's happened in your past that honestly, God wants. Because one thing that I need you to hear me, all right? This is large. This is massive. Listen, the devil's been fighting me all week long because the enemy loves to play on your wounds. That's one of his greatest weapons, is to play on your wounds to keep you from walking in your God purpose, all right? Now listen, one thing that I've learned is that there's no greater pain than emotional wounds. There's no greater pain than emotional wounds. And honestly, our greatest ministry comes out of our greatest misery. Our greatest ministry comes out of our greatest misery. This is going to be on the floor. Somebody can be wrapping their legs up for us over with. Listen, your toughest pain can be your greatest platform to glorify God if you respond correctly. So everybody in this room has been wounded some way, form, or fashion. And I guess the question is how have you dealt with it? Who are you today? Who you are today, reveals how you dealt with wounds from the past. Honestly, the way you respond creates who you are today. I'm gonna say this again before it's over with, but you can either become bitter or you can become better from your wounds. You can become bitter or you can become better from your wounds. Because everybody in this room has been wounded. Everybody, some way, form, or fashion. And we're going to be talking the next several weeks over certain individual wounds that you don't hear a lot about in church. All right, and so we're going to be talking a lot about those things. You know, there's a lot of people probably here today who, because you've not let the great physician, there's a reason why he's called the great physician. Jesus calls himself the great physician. There's a reason why a lot of people here today have not allowed the great physician to heal your wounds. And honestly, you've got a really bad infection. You've got a bad infection. When wounds are undealt with, they cause infection. You know, how many of you have just seen just a nasty infection? It's just gross. You know, a lot of us have emotional wounds that have really never been dealt with. And we've never allowed the great physician to come in and heal us. And we've had an infection for years in our life that God wants to set you free from. There's a lot of us that's had infection in our life for years. And here's what happens. Here's what happens when you have infections. You put Band-Aids over infections. You put bandages over infections so that no one can see your infection. A lot of times, like, man, that infection is just nasty. I mean, man, if somebody sees that, that's going to be gross. But we do that with emotional wounds, too. We try to Band-Aid our emotional wounds up. But in reality, everybody sees your infection, whether you believe it or not. People can still see it. You put Band-Aids over infections so nobody can see it. And there's a lot of people here today, great possibility, who put Band-Aids over your infected emotional wounds that you've never dealt with. I want you to hear me. Unhealed emotional wounds will turn you into the person you never wanted to be. Unhealed emotional wounds will turn you into the person you never wanted to be. Unhealed emotional wounds get infected and fester. Are you ready? They fester into bitterness. They fester into anger. They fester into being easily offended. They fester into more emotional pain, which causes more infection. The infection turns into loneliness. You know why it turns into loneliness? Who wants to hang out with an angry, bitter dude? Who wants to hang out with an angry, bitter person? Listen, if no one hangs out with you because of your infection, how in the world do we give them the gospel? How do we give them Jesus? You see how the enemy plays on your wounds? The last thing he wants is for God to be glorified, but the greatest way to glorify God can be through your misery if you respond with Jesus. It can be infected with isolation. Honestly, isolation looks like this. You isolate yourself from people. Why? Because people usually are what causes wounds the most. So you isolate yourself from people because in reality, you think that if I put a wall up, if I stay away from people and guard my heart, I will never get hurt again. But in reality, you need people to get set free so that you can walk in life. We need each other. If that wasn't true, then you'd be the only person God ever created. We need each other. And so here's one thing that I know for a fact, is that hurting people hurt people. Hurting people hurt people. So those who have hurt you, those who have in the past, whether you were 9 years old or whether it was yesterday, those who have hurt you, there's a great possibility somebody hurt them and they didn't respond correctly. But in Jesus' name, prayerfully, after today, you will respond correctly. And you'll respond with Jesus. Now here's the deal. God didn't call us to walk around with infected wounds. Who wants to see infected wounds? But here's what God will allow us to walk around with. God will allow us to walk around with scars. How many of you got scars on your body? Throw your hands up. How many of you got stories with those scars? Throw your hands up. You know what? Every scar produces a story. I've got scars all over me. I was trying to think about which scar do I want to tell the story about today? So I'm just going to take a poll. How many of you want to hear the story about me running into an all-gas tank in the middle of the night? Throw your hands up. Okay, four of you. All right, how many of you want to hear about the bus called the Glory Special where I got slung about 5 feet in front of me? I mean, okay, I'm going to tell that story. Listen, I've got other stories I could tell about my scars. But my dad used to drive a bus route for the church back whenever I was a little kid. This was in the 70s, okay? This is when seatbelts were not even thought of back then. They just put them in there because they were supposed to. Nowadays, they make you wear them and stuff. But back then, you could stand up in the back seat and run around and do all you wanted to. Because number one, the cars were big enough. They were lanyards. You had to call people from the back seat to talk to them in the front seat. And it's absolutely amazing all the things they let us do in the 70s. And so my dad used to drive this bus, and they painted it white, and my dad gave this, he did the church bus route. He gave the bus a name, and he called the bus the Glory Special. Glory to God. And so it was painted on the back of the bus, the Glory Special. All right, so that's so cheesy. I have no clue why, but something independent Baptist, I guess. But anyway, so when we were kids, my dad was the bus driver, and we loved to bounce on the back of the seat, and he would hit bumps, and we would fly to the ceiling and smack the top of the ceiling like, "You see how high I got?" And my dad, who didn't have a clue what he was doing, would floor it over speed bumps and railroad tracks because he knew we wanted to have fun in the back seat. Is there anybody in the house that knows what I'm talking about at all? Come on, in Jesus' name. Y'all know what? I thought I was the only one that did that. Y'all had bad dads too. So anyway, basically, I went with my dad to take all the kids home from church one day, and I was sitting in the very back because in the very back is where you got sent the highest. If you sat in the front, you ain't going nowhere. You're just going to stay seated. But in the back, you flying, baby. You're going to sprout some wings and fly. And so I'm sitting in the back. My dad knows that the greatest bump of the whole entire bus route is coming up. It's the railroad tracks in Fultondale, all right? Coming down Thrill Hill. You come flying down a hill, there's some railroad tracks, and I'm telling you, dude, you will sprout some wings and you will fly. And so my dad thinks I'm awake. I'm asleep in the back. Apparently I was sleeping with my eyes open. He just can't see in the mirror well enough. I'm in the very back. He knows I like to bounce and do that. He floors it, going down a hill about 80, hits these speed bumps, and I go, seriously, about six seats flying forward over the seats and land and smack my lip on the back of a seat, and my lip just immediately just busted. I had three lips. I had one here, and one on the bottom. My top lip just split. And listen, there was blood everywhere, and I'm like, "What are you doing, Dad?" He's like, "I thought you wanted to fly." I was like, "Not when I'm asleep." And so basically, we had to go straight to the hospital. You can't see it because I got a mustache over it, kinda. But if you look underneath here, right there and here, they had to take my top lip and put it back together with stitches. I've got 11 stitches in there that my dad is so special sent me flying on the Glory Special. And so, you got stories. Everybody's got stories with scars. But here's the deal. You don't want to show anybody your infected wounds. But you know what? That cut on my lip, my mouth, my lip blew up. I mean, like, and everybody made fun of me. They loved for me to smile. They loved for me to talk because it would flap and it was just nasty. It could have its own area code because it was so big. Listen, but the thing about it is now, back then you couldn't touch it because it hurt. I mean, nobody could touch it. I hated it when my mom put medicine on me. But today, because it's just a scar and it's healed, I got a story about the scar, but I can hit it. I can do anything I want to with it. It don't hurt a bit. But if it was still infected today, it would be messy. There's a lot of you emotionally who still have infections in your life today that God wants to heal. Listen, if you've been wounded, and once again, I believe that's all of us, you need to know that Christ came to heal you so that you can experience him as healer, so that you can share your story of your wounds about how Jesus healed. And honestly, you can use your emotional scars where God healed you to tell his story, to brag on what he did. Listen to what the Bible says in Psalms 147:3. It's just kind of hidden away. I think this is absolutely beautiful. It's talking about God. It says, he heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds. He heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds. Some translation says that he heals the brokenhearted and touches those who are crushed in spirit. When I look at this verse, I think about, how beautiful the picture is. This is a beautiful picture of God and his care for his people. You can almost literally see the hand of God come in and touch a broken heart and mend it back together. Why? Because that's who he is. That's his nature. That's his passion. How many have been brokenhearted before? You know, God wants to mend it. The Bible goes on to say, and he bandages their wounds. The psalmist says he bandages their wounds. That, you know, there's kind of a picture of Jesus taking his bandage and coming down, kneeling down next to you and wrapping you up, because he is personally doing everything he can to bandage your wounds, because he's a personal God. He's a God that's close to the brokenhearted. He's a God that wants to heal and bandage your wounds. Can I ask you a question for those in this room who've been hurt in your life? Why haven't you let God bandage you up? It's a beautiful picture. You know, another story. I actually was supposed to be going with Avery to J.H. Ranch last week. It's a camp for basically parents and kids, but this was a father-son or father-daughter camp, where you kind of bond and helps kids understand their parents and helps parents understand their kids a little bit better. It's usually 12 and up. Avery got really, really, really sick the day before we left, or 2 days before we left. And so we had to make a last-minute decision the day that I was flying out to take Caleb with me. And so we did a father-son camp instead of a father-daughter camp. And so me and Caleb went to this camp, J.A. Tranch. And so the whole thing is wrapped around bonding, father and son. And so everything they did all kinds of activities, but everything they did had a lesson behind it. Everything had a lesson. And so they did this one deal. They called it the small ropes course, but this really wouldn't run any ropes on this course. But basically, they wanted you to put a blindfold around your kid's eyes, which Caleb Heiss does not need a blindfold, but I put a blindfold over his eyes. And so they put the kids off over here, and they got us over here. And so they're coaching the dads and what they want them to do. And so we as dads had to tell our kids basically four things. And I can't remember if I remember all four of them, but one of them was, I will never leave you. You can ask me any question at any time. I'll be right here next to you. And I really don't remember what the fourth one is. Just know that they had four things that they could ask us at any time. And so they were supposed to remember this at the bottom of the hill before we did the little lesson, all right? And so Caleb Heiss don't even remember his name most of the time. And so I knew that was going to go over like a pregnant pole vaulter. And so we're at the bottom of the hill, us and all our sons, the bunch of these dads, my little group of people. And so basically we had to start off with our hands on the kids, and we got to walk them to a certain destination through the woods, blindfolded, to get to a certain place. But they had to trust us, all right? And so I had my hands on Caleb's shoulder, and I could talk to him. And so we started off that way, and we're walking, he's stumbling a little bit. And so the guy that's leading it says, hey, cut off the hands. All you can do is talk. And so we took our hands away. He's like, Dad, where'd you go? I said, I'm here, son. We can talk. Let's talk. And so he's talking to me. And so I'm still directing him, and he's still stumbling and stuff. And so then the guy says, be quiet. See, at this point is where your son really needs to remember that you can ask questions anytime you want to. All right? Caleb Heiss didn't remember that. And so basically, I'm just standing there. By the way, the guy coached us at the bottom. This is really mean, but he coached us at the bottom. He's like, hey, guys, just let your son hit the trees. Let him run into stuff if he needs to. They need to learn a lesson here. I'm like, oh, this is going to be great. So basically there's this other kid and his dad who was in my cabin. We stayed in cabins, by the way. That was crazy. And so this kid, Reed, who is an incredible kid, one of the smartest kids I've ever met in my life, he was very, very, very independent. Anytime during the whole entire camp, they needed a kid to volunteer for something, before they even told him what it was, he raised his hand. And he was like in seventh grade, and he was brilliant. He'd raise his hand for everything. He was daring and independent. And so it came to the point with Reed and his dad that basically we took our hands off, we quit talking, and so they're walking, and Reed stops and says, Dad, are you there? And his dad said, yes, son, I'm here. And Reed sprints as fast as he can, pew, with blindfolds on, and that joker levels a tree. Bam! And I put a dent in the tree. Look, his head goes, poof, like blew up, and he's laying on the ground, and he's, oh, Dad, watch it. He's crying, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. And, like, he's, like, mad. He's so mad at his dad because he acts like he's about 30. He's a smart kid. And so him and his dad are arguing, like, son, I had to do it. He told me to. He's like, Dad, why'd you let me hit that tree? You know, you got to trust me, son. Like, you should have told me the tree was. So anyway, this kid's head is swelled up, and I'm really, we had to have our little time at the end where we all sit together and go through what we felt and how did that make you feel and all that kind of stuff. And so I'm the sadistic dad. Caleb, I let go of him, and I'm videoing him with my phone laughing all the way through. He's smacking trees. He ran into a guy's hiney. It was absolutely incredible. And I'm, ah! And so I found out after that they wouldn't let any dads carry their phones with them on this trip. But anyway, and so we're all sitting around, and this little boy's crying. He's mad the whole time, and his daddy is crying because he couldn't do nothing. And I started thinking, like, that's the picture of the father with us. I mean, I wanted my kid to, he's crying because his kid gets hurt. And he didn't ask the right questions. He wasn't coming to me to help him. He wanted to do it on his own and be independent. And he's sitting there weeping with his son crying, number one, because he's in pain and his head looks like an egg. And number two, because his dad, he's mad at his dad. And it's amazing how many of us are so independent trying to do our own thing that we miss what God's trying to do with us in the area of leading us and guiding us and directing us. We're smacking trees. God's, maybe he's not just thinking out loud. Maybe he's like this literal dad weeping like, man, would you just cry out to me? Would you just ask me to heal you and walk with you? Because God cares for you that much. So where do wounds come from? You know, I think wounds come from several different places. I believe that wounds come from, they can come from parents. You know, a lot of you might be, some of you had incredible parents, that your parents are your saving grace. But some of you had mamas and daddies, and a lot of times it's daddies, that honestly didn't treat you the way you probably should have been treated. Hey, when was the last time you forgave them? Let me ask you a question. Have you ever thought about the reason why your parents treated you the way that you were treated is because their parents didn't know how to treat them the right way? And maybe their parents didn't know how to treat them the right way. And so all these people are doing is going off of what they know. But guess what? If you respond with God correctly, you can stop that curse in Jesus' name right now. And you can change your kids' lives with Jesus. Ain't no parent in this room perfect. I'm jacked up. Ask Caleb and Avery. They'll tell you. We make mistakes. But love, listen, forgive them. Let it go. There's so much we could talk about right there. Listen, and some of you, I have no clue what happened with you and your parents. I have no clue. And some of you are like, you don't know my situation. I don't. You're right. But somehow or another, so you can get set free. There's got to be some forgiveness somewhere so you can walk in freedom. You know, I think about spouses. It's amazing how we can talk to our spouse different than we do anybody else on this earth because we feel like we have the right to, when in reality, God calls them the bride of Christ. Like this is like they represent, like you represent me and she's your bride. You treat her the way I treat you. You serve. And so there's a lot of times we as spouses can wound our spouse because we've done it for all our life. Some of us need to change how we treat our spouse, and then some of us need to forgive our spouse. Wounds can come from ex-spouses. We won't even go there. That's just an obvious. Teachers in your life who have influence on you. I've got teacher stories that I'm not going to share. I've shared before that still messes me up today. But I've gotten set free from a lot of it. I think about peers, people who you're supposed to be your friends hurt you. Pastors have hurt you or can hurt you. I've got the capability of hurting people. Church people have got the capability of hurting people. Hey, listen, we went to I might tell more of the story later on, but we did our serve day yesterday, and we went to Warrior because we got a lot of people from North Jefferson that drives up here, so we did a block party, and everybody that I met that came to our block party were unchurched, but most of them were de-churched. And the reason why they were de-churched, because people in the church were hateful. I'll go ahead and tell you a story since we're here, all right? Because I was going to use this later on. We'll save it. Listen, I had a lady who was biracial couple, had a biracial, she was a biracial couple. And she asked, will y'all accept me and my husband? We're from another state. And we moved in here to this place. And man, this state has been a whole different, it's been different for us. And we get talked down to and hammered. And where we've gone to church has not been very accepting. Do y'all accept people like us? I'm like, holy cow, yeah. I had a black lady who asked me the same thing, basically. She said, basically, her daughter, they'd go to a certain church. Her daughter would go to the kids' ministry because her kid loved the kids' ministry. But she would sit in the parking lot and watch her church, which is a black church in Birmingham, online in the parking lot of the church that she dropped her kid off at because she couldn't make it to Birmingham because it was too far to drive. So in this church, she'd watch it online in the parking lot because the times that she had gone into this church, the people were telling her, you're not welcome here. So people inside the church can hurt you. And can I just say this as a pastor? And I don't know exactly how to say this, but if that ever happened here, I will lose my job. Amen. I'll lose, because that should never, ever, 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 ever happen. Why? Because the ground's level at the cross. And honestly, you need Jesus. If that's your heart, you need Jesus. I don't care how long you've been in church. I don't care how many times you've walked the aisle. I don't care how many times you've said the sinner's prayer. If that's your heart, you need to repent today and give your life to Christ. Because Christians don't live that way. Oh man, y'all got me on a kick. In Jesus' name, let me step off my soapbox, all right? And come back down. Some of you mad at me. Some of you mad right now because we just don't believe that here in Coleman. Well, bless God, you in the wrong church. Because you don't believe in the kingdom. You're going to be really surprised when you get to heaven because it ain't going to be all white. It ain't going to be all black. It ain't going to be all Asian or Hispanic. It's going to be all of us worshiping one God as different multicultural people. And I'll be honest with you, we probably need to repent. A lot of us need to repent today of our heart. Black, white, Hispanic, all of us. Anyway, let's get back to wounds, all right? I just wounded somebody. You probably needed that in Jesus' name. Listen. Church people can hurt you. Your children can hurt you. Coaches can hurt you. So a lot of times wounds come from other people. Wounds can also come from being self-inflicted wounds. You can wound yourself. Bad decisions can wound you. Bad decisions of falling into temptation or falling into sin. Sin produces consequences. They produce wounds. The devil loves to play on that because in the middle of it, he loves to give you a really bad view of who God is. Some of us made bad decisions in addiction. Some of us made bad financial decisions. Some of us have made bad business deals. I mean, there's a lot of decisions that are self-inflicted wounds that really we still have not gotten over that God wants me to. And honestly, you could just take circumstances and storms of life and just put it right there with both of those if you want to. So there's two ways that healing come, real quick. Two ways that healing come. The first one is through God. The second one is through others. Now, I'm going to hit the through others real quick, just real quick. So how does it come through others? The way that healing comes, you know, death has been spoken into so many people's lives that honestly, the way that we can bring healing as the body of Christ is we can speak life and reverse the curse of death that's been spoken into them. We can speak life into them and bring them back to life. See, the body of Christ should be reversing the curse of death in people's lives that's been spoken into them because we speak so much life. I had somebody tell me that I was dumb at the age of 10 in fifth grade. So I believed I was dumb. I've told you all this story all the way through. somebody of influence. But I had one man in my life tell me how smart you are, because I was scared to death to go to college, seminary. Tell me how smart I am. You can do this. I bought into it, sat on the front row, worked my tail off, and graduated cum laude from where I was. And I'm giving you the short version of it. But the big picture is that man, David Jett, one of my overseers here at this church, reversed the curse. They reversed the curse. And we have the ability to speak life into people and not death. And we have the ability to speak abundant life that reverses the curse in everybody's life in this room who's experienced death. We should not be the place that people have death spoke over them. We should be the place that people have life spoken into them. The church, the body. Listen, many have self-inflicted wounds that honestly need to be loved through them. Their failures, their bad decisions. They need safe places. You need safe places. I need safe places. We need each other. We need to be trustworthy people, because most people have been wounded and they don't trust people, period. And so the more life you speak into people, the more they begin to trust you, so that you can help them walk through the process of coming to know Christ and letting God heal them. The process of trusting other people's lives through unconditional love and being a safe place is large. You know, we should be the most encouraging people that others come in contact with. But you know, there are some people sitting here today that you're here. I don't know where you is. I don't know where you at. You here. But there's some people here sitting here saying, well, I just call a spade a spade. I'm just a realist. And basically what you're saying is that 90% of what you say is critical and 10% is encouraging. You need to reverse that. What you're saying in reality is that in reality, really, I'm just a jerk. You know why? Because there's a great possibility you've been wounded and you really don't call a spade a spade. It makes you feel better to find fault in other people's lives to make yourself feel better, because really, deep down inside, you're the person I'm talking to today. You're the one that's wounded. I want you to hear me. Any fool can find dirt in others, but it takes a person with vision to find gold in others. Any fool can find fault in other people. Anybody can do that. That's easy. But a man with vision can find gold in people, because there ain't a person in this room that don't have gold. Not a person in this room that don't have gold in them. Listen, it is essential to identify the place that you've been hurt. It's essential to identify the place that you've been hurt. Some of you need to grab the hand of God at some point and let God take you back to the places that you've been hurt and start forgiving immediately. And it might be a long process, but some of you need to start letting it go. It's essential. Listen, we don't go in and identify wounds for the purpose of blaming, but for healing. We don't go and identify where we've been hurt. Well, you know, my parents hurt me really, really bad, so I'm going to blame them for the reason why my life is. Listen, it's too many of us living out a victim spirit in our life, and it causes everybody to like look at you and think like, man, I don't want to hang out with that person. Who wants to hang out with a person that walks around as the victim all the time? We don't identify wounds for the purpose of blaming, but we identify wounds for the purpose of healing. Some of us, it's been so long ago that we don't even know where it's at. Most of us know where it's at. You know, a lot of us think that blaming others produces freedom in my life, when in reality it produces bondage. Well, it's your fault. Woo, it feels good. Oh, it does. Then why are you hard to hang out with? Why you look angry all the time? That's not freedom. Listen, we think that harboring bitterness and unforgiveness is the bandage and the salve that I need to get healing. But in reality, all that does is produce infection, more infection, more infection, more infection, more pain. Listen, a lot of us will not let God heal us because God's salve, God's Neosporin, y'all like it here? God's Neosporin and his bandages are different than the world's. The world says, be the victim, find the blame, point the finger, live entitled, they hurt you, hold on to it. But God says, no, 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 no. There is bondage in that. Freedom only comes when you use my Neosporin. God's Neosporin, God's salve, God's bandages looks like forgiveness. It looks like mercy. It looks like grace. It looks like trusting Him to handle those who have hurt you. And the only way that you can survive a broken heart and live with purpose and live life in abundance is to do it God's way. Your life is way too short to live offended. Your life is way too short to live with unforgiveness. The reason why you're not walking in your purpose is because you're walking in blame. The reason why you're not walking in your purpose is because you're letting the enemy win and he's holding on to you with your unforgiveness, which produces bitterness. And God said, let me take my salve, let me take my Neosporin, let me take my bandages, let me take that infected wound that happened to you when you were 9 years old and let me heal you so I can use you for great things. Who is God drawn to? You ever thought about that? Who are the people that God is drawn to? You know, Jesus, we can look at the life of Jesus. Jesus was a representation of God. He was a representation of God's heartbeat on this earth when he came to the earth. He was fully God. He was fully man. He represented the heart of God when Jesus was on this earth. So who was Jesus? What does the Bible say? Who does the Bible say that Jesus, who did he come after? Listen. He came after the wounded. You ever thought about that? Isaiah 53:4-5 says this. This is the prophetic word Isaiah gives about who Jesus is. It says, surely he took our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our sin, for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed from our wounds. Jesus came and died for our sins, died for our guilt, died for our shame. Some of you may disagree with this with your theology, but I believe not only did he die for our spiritual wounds, which I consider sin, I believe he died for our physical wounds and our emotional wounds. By his wounds, we are healed. He wants to heal your wounds. Why? So that you can be great. You can be used for greater purpose for his kingdom. You, when you're healed, your greatest ministry comes out of your greatest misery when you let the healer, the great physician, heal you. He's already done it through the cross. All you got to do is come to him and let him start taking his salve and let him bandage you so that you can be used. He took up our pain, our suffering. He was crushed for our sin. He wants to heal our spiritual, physical, and emotional wounds by his wounds through the cross. Who was the ones that Jesus was drawn to when he walked on this earth? And who was drawn to him? Luke 15:1-2. Jesus was drawn to the rejected. Do you know that? Jesus was drawn to the rejected. I think about the adulterous woman. I think about the man at the pool of Bethesda. In Jesus' name, there it comes. I've been saying Bethesda, and Adam left me a voicemail this morning, and it said, it's Bethesda. Remember, Bethesda. He was drawn to the sinner. He was drawn to the woman at the well. He was drawn to Mary Magdalene. The rejected, the ones that nobody had anything to do with. Those were the people that Jesus was drawn to, and they were drawn to him. He was drawn to the overlooked. Think about the disciples. Who in the world would have thought a bunch of fishermen and tax collectors would change the world, even today in the 21st century? They were incredibly overlooked. I go back to the Old Testament. What about King David, the greatest king, one of the greatest kings that's ever lived in the bloodline of Jesus? Samuel goes and looks for a king, and he goes to six brothers, and he says, "Well, these are none of these guys." He goes, "You got another one?" He goes, "Yeah, the little ruddy guy down there, you know, in the sheep pen, the shepherd. You can go check him out. He's the one." Who is it? The ones that go that Jesus went after. Who's the ones that God desires to be after? The ones that are drawn to him. He goes after the lonely. I think about Zacchaeus. Probably didn't have a friend in the world because he was a tax collector. Jesus pursues him, seeks him out. Zacchaeus is up in a tree and he says, Hey, Zacchaeus, come on down from that tree. I'm going to your house today." Think about Jesus goes to the angry. Some of y'all might think, "Well, that's a little bit of a stretch," but I think about Legion, the demon-possessed man. He cut himself with rocks. People were scared to death of him because he was incredibly angry. Jesus cast all kinds of demons out of him into a bunch of pigs, and they jumped off a cliff into a water. They call that devil's ham. Listen, yeah, that was stupid. Okay, I won't say that again next service. Listen. He goes to the angry. You know what? Can I say this real quick about this? In our day and age, in my time, in my almost 46 years of living, I've never seen so many angry people in my life. I know I'm probably not supposed to say this at church, but I'm just Andy. I'm just going to say it. How about this week? Just this week, I've got flipped off twice in Coleman, and one of you are here today. Yeah, you here. You flipped off your pastor. Because of driving. I got the double barrel. Like you took your hands off the wheel to let me know. Two peeled bananas. Listen. Y'all just got that. You know what? I want to stop. I want to get out of my car and say, like, ho, stop. Dude, you need a hug, bro. Man, why are you so angry? Now listen, I'll be honest. I'm a terrible driver. I tell everybody who gets in my car, put your seatbelts on because I cannot drive. You better believe it. I tell everybody gets in my car, put your seatbelt on. I'm terrible. Just this week, though, twice. And I'm like, why are people so angry? Because they're wounded. They're hurt. They're full of pain. And it makes them feel a lot better when I show my emotions to the pastor. You hear? I'm just kidding. I really don't know who it was. I'm just kidding. Somebody like, "Oh, God, I did that this week." It could have been you. I'm just kidding. I think about those in pain. I think about the centurion soldier whose son had died. Jesus was drawn to this man. I think about the widow who was crying over her son who had died, and Jesus went and healed the man. He's drawn to him. Listen, these were the ones that we see Jesus, the great physician, the healer. He was drawn to him. Listen, Jesus was not drawn to the ones who did not see that they needed their wounds healed. The ones that let Jesus into their life to heal them are the ones we read about today. Do you hear me? The people we read about in this book today are the ones who were wounded and they let the great physician heal them. The overlooked, the rejected, the angry, the lonely, these are the ones we read about. Why? Because they let the great physician come in and put his salve on them, put his bandage on them, and spray some of this demoplast, whatever that is, on them, his own. We read about their story of healing. I want you to hear, catch this. We read about their story of healing. And listen, these people today, in the 21st century, they left a legacy because they let the great physician heal them. They left a legacy. Why? Because them jokers been dead 2,000 years, but we still read about them today. And these people who let God heal them are still changing lives today. They left a legacy. Because the great physician healed them. Listen to me. What I see is that in the end, these people who are being healed, it's not really about their story. It's not really their story because they let God heal their emotional needs. It's not their story. The story really becomes about the power of Jesus and his greatness. The story really isn't about the person who's being healed because they came seeking. The story is really about the one who healed them, Jesus. That's who the story is about. It's about Jesus, the great physician, the one who healed. And honestly, that can be your story. That can be your story, because everybody in this room's been wounded. Everybody's hurt, but Jesus wants to bandage your wounds. He wants to bind up the brokenhearted. It could be your story. Your story can be His story. It could be about His greatness, and it could be about His glory. When you can trust God in His neosporin, in His salve, with forgiveness and mercy and grace, and trust in Him, He could give you purpose. He could give you a story that can lead others with their wounds to a great healer, Jesus. Your scars are stories of the healing of Christ. Your emotional scars are the stories of what Jesus, because you can't do it on your own. Only Jesus can heal them. You can either be bitter or you can be better. And you can't do both. It's one or the other. You can't do both. Can I ask you a question? Are you bitter or have you gotten better because you trusted the great physician? Listen, the enemy, I want you to hear me. Last thing I'm gonna say, the enemy wants to wound you in what you're gifted in the most. The enemy wants to wound you in what you're called to the most so that he can shut down the area that God wants to use you in the most. Don't let the enemy win. There's millions of people who's letting the enemy win, even in church. There are people in this room who are letting the enemy win because you are not going to give in. By God, I will not give in. I will hold blame against other people. I will hold with unforgiveness. And here's the deal. The enemy is winning in your life, and you're missing out on greatness because you're too stubborn to let God heal you. Let the great healer, Jesus, heal you. And then you share His glory of what He done in your life. Listen, the enemy plays on your wounds to keep you from glorifying Jesus. Listen, the warfare that I have experienced this week is just stupid, because I really feel like God wants to do something in somebody's life. It has to be, because I'm telling you, the warfare that took place this week with me personally, it was just stupid. I'm like, apparently God got somebody that needs some freedom. And I really believe that when we don't allow God to heal our woundedness, it probably becomes one of the devil's greatest weapons. And I think the reason why I've gone through so much warfare is because we're revealing it today. We're revealing how the enemy keeps you from living out God's purpose. It's being revealed. There's so much more depth in all of the, what I, this is surface what we talked about today. Some of you just need to take the hand of God and get better and let God be glorified. Let the name of Jesus be lifted high, because God touched me. And whenever you let other people go, when you let them go and take that hand that you're holding on to all the things that's happened in your life, you let them go and you grab the hand of God, the things that God can do in you, it's just crazy. It's crazy. Let Him do great things. Let's pray. Father, we love You. Lord, there are people in this room who are wounded. There are people in this room who are hurt. There are people in this room that don't even believe in You, God, or struggle with believing in You because the enemy's played on their wounds. So, Lord, I ask in Jesus' name that, God, You would move on people and that You would bless them, and You'd pour Your Spirit out on them, and You'd do great things for Your glory and for Your honor, God. Make Your name known today, Jesus. If you're here today with nobody looking around, you say, Andy, I've never given my life to Jesus Christ. I'm lost, and I'm in need of God. I need Jesus. Would you pray for me? If that's you and nobody looking around, would you just put your hand up? I see one right here. Who else? Anybody else? Come on. Andy, I need Jesus, man. I'm lost. I need Christ. Who else? Who else? Anybody else? For those that raised their hand, and maybe for the ones that didn't, the Bible says to confess Jesus as Lord with your mouth and to believe in your heart that He's raised again on the third day. We believe in our heart that Jesus died on the cross. It's with your heart. It's surrender. It's everything that you are. We believe that He shed His blood, paid the penalty of our sin. We've broken the law of God. We've sinned. There's nothing we can do to earn God's favor but through Jesus, what He did on the cross, through the blood. We have rights before God when we place our trust and our faith in Him. Then the Bible says to believe that He rose from the grave. In other words, we believe that He died, but we believe that He rose from the grave 3 days later, and that today, July the 16th, 2017, Jesus Christ is alive and well today with your best interest out. And because you're alive today, Jesus, no longer will I be Lord of my life. God, I don't want to run my life anymore. Jesus, I want to confess you as Lord of my life. You take my life and you run my life. You do in my life. You do in my life what you want. You say, hey, Andy, how do I do that? Well, to confess Jesus as Lord, I feel like we need to talk to Him. You can repeat after me. You can say your own prayer. But it comes from a heart that says, God, I need you. So if you're here today and you say, I want to do that, then let's talk to Him. Say, Jesus, I confess you as Lord. I give you my life. I give you all of me. Forgive me for my sin. Thank you for dying on the cross, shedding your blood so that I can have life. Thank you for being rose from the dead. Thank you for being alive today and pursuing me where I'm at. Thank you for saving me. And God, I confess you as Lord. If you're here today and you prayed that, the Bible says in Luke chapter 15 that all of heaven celebrates when one comes to know Christ. And so if you're here today, can we celebrate with heaven? Come on, DC. Let me just give you some next steps. Listen, for those that raised their hand, and maybe for the ones that didn't, you got a connection card in your chair, fill that connection card out, mark the box that said, I gave my life to Christ. As soon as you go through these doors, there's an info bar right there, okay? Go to that bar. They got something they want to give you. They want to give you some next steps. So it's vital. It's going to take some courage, but you can do it. Go right there, and they can do that, okay? The other thing I would tell you to do, if you don't feel comfortable doing that, these people right here in the front, this is our prayer team, they would love to meet with you, and they would love to help you through that process. So just come to one of these, okay? We got ladies up here. We got men. So ladies, you can go to ladies. Men, you can come to men and let them talk to you. Listen, if you got any prayer, that's what they're here for. If you got any kind of prayer, we would love to personally pray for you. Come on up here and let's pray for you. If you're here today and you say, Andy, I want God to minister to the wounds in my life, and I want to give God the rights to me. If you're here today, I've got my hand up. I know I've got areas that God's dealing with me on. If that's you, would you just throw your hands up and let me pray for you? Father, you see them. God, they just gave you the rights, so start dealing with them so that we can get some freedom, so that we can be used for your glory. God, you bind up the brokenhearted. Why? Because you love your people. And God, you bandage those who are wounded. God, you help those who are crushed in spirit. So Lord, meet us where we are. Use us. Thank you for the cross. It gives us the opportunity to be mended by our Savior. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and we thank you, Jesus, in your name.